السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائي عليك.
Dear audience, now let's listen to some parts of Ziyara An-Nahiya Al-Muqaddasa. Stay tuned.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. As-salamu ala al-Husayn alladhi samihat nafsuhu bimuhjati.
Peace be upon Al-Husayn, who sacrificed himself up to the last drops of the blood of his heart.
As-salamu ala man ata'a Allah fi sirrihi wa alaniyatihi.
Peace be upon him who obeyed Allah secretly and openly.
As-salamu ala man ja'ala Allah shifa'a fi turbatihi.
Peace be upon whom Allah placed a cure in the soul of his place of martyrdom.
As-salamu ala man al-ijabatu tahta qubbati.
Peace be upon the one under whose dome answer to supplications is guaranteed.
As-salamu ala man al-a'immatu min dhurriyati.
Peace be upon the one in whose descendants are the imams after him.
As-salamu ala ibn khatim al-anbiya. As-salamu ala ibn sayyid al-awsiya.
Peace be upon the son of the seal of the prophets. Peace be upon the son of the chief of the executors.
As-salamu ala ibn fatimah al-zahra. As-salamu ala ibn khadijah al-kubra.
Peace be upon the son of Fatima, the radiant. Peace be upon the son of Khadija, the great.
السلام على ابن سدرة المنتهى السلام على ابن جنة المأوى السلام على ابن زمزم والصفا.
Peace be upon the son of the lotus tree in the outermost boundary of heaven. Peace be upon the son of the garden of refuge. Peace be upon the son of Zamzam and As-Safa.
السلام على المرمل بالدماء السلام على المهتوك الخبا السلام على خامس أصحاب أهل الكسا.
Peace be upon him who was saturated in his blood. Peace be upon him whose tents were violated. Peace be upon the fifth of the people of the cloak.
As-salamu alayhi.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of the program Dialogue. We hope that you remain under the auspicious grace of Imam Hussein today and always.
عليك مني ولا جعلها
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
I would like to take this opportunity to talk about one dimension of the personality of Amir al-Mu'mineen.
As-salamu alayka ya Amin Allah fi ardi.
Peace be upon you, O trusted guardian, appointed by Allah.
The universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in To My Brother.
Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. This is To My Brother, and I'm your host, Mehdi. It's great to have all of you here, and today we want to talk about a character who not only influenced Muslims across the world, but influenced many non-Muslims as well. This great personality is the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace and blessings upon him. Imam Ali alayhi salam was brought up under the care of the Holy Prophet Muhammad when he was just a small child. And so in this manner, the foundation of the moral and spiritual education of this magnificently intelligent child was based by the Prophet of Islam himself, the greatest educator of all mankind. Imam Ali's mental faculties were to an extent that he believed in the Holy Prophet and his mission at the tender age of 8. Therefore, Imam Ali, contrary to the other companions of the Holy Prophet, had never worshipped idols and never partook in the unreasonable demands, the oppressive actions, or the unjust acts of the Arab chieftains.
Welcome back, dear friends. It's great to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio. The program is To My Brother, and we are discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So, dear friends, we are talking about this very beautiful, profound persona, this very miraculous and immaculate and infallible persona, this successor of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, Imam Ali Ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, truly a universal persona, a persona which has so many lessons to teach us. We live in a day and age where there's a lot of mischief and a lot of deviation and a lot of corruption that is going on. I'm not talking about necessarily financial or political corruption, but deviation and kind of misguidance on a global level. Truth has been mixed with the falsehood, and falsehood has been mixed with the truth. In other situations, we find that the truth has been proclaimed to be false, and falsehood has been proclaimed to be true. So it is even a step further than the mixing of the two. It is a complete opposition of the other, a complete mislabeling of what is going on. If we look around in the world, this is what is happening. The mass media continues to confuse and deceive the people. They make the terrorists into heroes, and they make the heroes into terrorists. Is that not what we see in the issue of Palestine, or in the issue of all those that are defending the Palestinians? Have we not seen this over 40 years when it comes to the Islamic Republic of Iran? Consistently, the media has demonized the Islamic Revolution and has demonized the leaders of the Islamic Revolution. So this is definitely a day and age which is full of mischief. It is full of dissension. It is full of fitna, discord, chaos, misguidance, misinformation on a global level. In such a very serious and truly terrifying condition, we have to find a boat of deliverance, a boat of salvation, a ship which will help us to go through the stormy seas and reach the calm shores of faith and certainty and peace and tranquility. These boats and these ships of deliverance, of course, are individuals like the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon him, individuals like the infallible and immaculate Imams, alayhimus salam, individuals like Imam Ali, alayhis salam. But furthermore, even within these personalities, we find that people have created chaos and discord. And so we must find more specific ships of salvation. And these ships of salvation and deliverance are the righteous and noble leaders who follow the footsteps of these immaculate and divinely appointed individuals. Leaders, righteous, noble, religious, spiritual, powerful, courageous leaders, which in the past have proven to bring about deliverance for the people, such as Imam Khomeini, and people in the present day who we are witnessing are delivering people to the shores of faith and certainty, like Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei. A very profound lesson brought to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
Thank you.
أمير المؤمنين علي عليه السلام لا يكون الصديق صديقا حتى يحفظ أخاه في ثلاث: في نكبته وغيبته ووفاته.
أمير المؤمنين علي عليه السلام said, "A friend is not a friend unless he affords protection to his comrade on three occasions: in his adversity, in his absence, and at his death."
Now let's listen to Brother Muhammad Al-Hilli, who's going to talk about today's topic.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Do you want to be healthy and feel good? Perhaps you won't find anyone not sharing this goal. Whilst there's a plethora of advice online and by experts, we have wonderful recommendations in Islamic teachings, including the sayings of the Holy Ahlul Bayt alayhum as-salam. They all lived a healthy life and would love their followers to be healthy too. For instance, I have personally found hundreds of narrations on healthy lifestyle from the commander of the faithful, Amir al-Mu'mineen Imam Ali alayhi salam. Here are tips in this regard. Number one, oral hygiene. In many riwayat traditions, Imam Ali alayhi salam encourages the usage of the miswak, which is a teeth cleaning twig, which has been used for over 7,000 years. Although it is still widely available and can indeed be used, the emphasis in these narrations can perhaps be extended to general oral hygiene, such as brushing the teeth, gargling, as well as flossing. Your mouth is where the Quran is being recited, Imam Ali alayhi salam is reported to have said, so hence purify it. In another narration, he says that cleaning the teeth pleases Allah is the sunnah of the Holy Prophet and a cleanser for the mouth. Number two, washing the body with water. The commander of the faithful, peace and blessings be upon him, is reported to have said, use water to rid your bodies from unpleasant smells, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes the unclean ones, especially those who smell annoys anyone next to them. Indeed, the Holy Quran states that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who purify themselves. We have all heard how cleanliness is part of Iman according to Hadith. As Muslims, therefore, we must practice what our inspirational leaders have emphasized. Showers and baths, therefore, should be a very regular practice. Interestingly, in the book Makarimul Akhlaq, it is reported that Imam Ali alayhi salam recommends drinking 3 handfuls of hot water before having a shower or a bath to remove any pains in the body. Number three, washing hands before and after eating. Wash your hands before and after food, for this increases sustenance, rizq, as well as improves eyesight. This was a hadith from Imam Ali alayhi salam. It points to the esoteric link behind some actions that we do to maintain personal hygiene. It will be both good for our bodies as well as result in favors of the Almighty subhanahu wa ta'ala, such as more blessings from Him.
At this moment, we invite you to listen to parts of the Arabic text of Ziyarat Aminullah along with its English translations. Please stay tuned.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma fastajib du'ayi واقبل ثنائي واجمع بيني وبين أوليائي.
O Allah, give favorable answer to my prayer. Acknowledge the praise I sign in worship. Let there be peace and harmony between me and my friends for the sake of Muhammad, Ali, Fatima, Al-Hassan and Al-Hussein. Verily, thou art my benefactor who provides with bounties, the aim of my desires, the ultimate destination of my hopes in my future life and during this short life. Thou art my God, my Master and my Lord. Welcome my friends, keep our enemies away from us. To save us from the evil mischief, divert their attention. Let the true world come out in the open, supreme and dominant. Refute and condemn the fully, rendered contemptible. Verily, thou art able to do all things.
إنك على كل شيء قدير.
Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of To My Brother. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.ir/en Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care. Bye for now.
حلت بفنائك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين
لبيك يا حسين لبيك يا حسين
لبيك يا حسين
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Dear audience, this is Labbaik Ya Hussein from the holy city of Karbala. As we're following our discussions, we are trying to investigate and go deeply into the details of Ashura. And with me to discuss the historical event of Ashura is Dr. Fani. Thank you very much again for accepting our invitation. So we are talking about, the important message and the groundbreaking message of Imam Hussein to his brother, the letter. And you said that it was like a manifesto of this movement. But is there anything, that you want to add about this? Staying in Medina before Imam starts to leave there.
Sure. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaykum, Ya Abu Abdullah, wa ala arwahi allati halat bifina'ik. I'm very grateful to have this opportunity to talk about our beloved Imam, Imam Hussein alayhi salam. It is an honor to be here and to review the important events happened to this tragic turning point of the history of Ashura. The city of Medina was the city of the Prophet.
Right.
When Prophet migrated from Mecca to Medina, the city was called at that time Yathrib. So they changed the name to Madinatun Nabi, means the city of the Prophet. So I want to say Imam Hussein alayhi salam was living in Medina, where his grandfather Prophet was there, where the graveyard of his mother Fatima was there, Imam Hassan's grave was there. But because of these events, that Yazid was the leader, asking Walid and later Marwan to get his approval, Imam Hussein alayhi salam was forced to leave Medina. So in the matter of 2 days, Imam Hussein did a couple of meetings and he said goodbye to his grandfather, grave of Prophet, his mother Fatima Zahra, and his brother Imam Hassan Mujtaba, giving the will to Muhammad Hanafiya that I am leaving Medina and my mission was to clarify the right path from the wrong path, as I recited the statement last time. One of the events is also the meeting of Imam Hussein alayhi salam with Umm Salama. Umm Salama went to Imam Hussein alayhi salam and said this: "Oh son, I feel very sorrow that you are leaving. I heard this from your grandfather, the Prophet, that the Prophet said, my son Hussein will be killed in the area called Iraq, in a place called Karbala." So Umm Salama knew the word Karbala and Iraq.
So it was not something altogether new.
Yeah, right. So Imam Hussein replied, "Oh mother, I swear to God that I also was informed the same thing. So you knew this, I also know that. I will be definitely will be killed. There is no escape from that. And I know, I swear to God, I know the day that I will be martyred." Right. He knew it will be, for example, 10th of Muharram. "I know who is going to kill me. I know the name. I know their family. I know the area I will be sacrificed. I know the name of all of my companions, my followers who are going to be martyred with me." And he said, "Oh mother, if you want, I can show all of this to you." And Imam Hussein somehow pointed to the area of Karbala when he was in Medina with Umm Salama. And somehow, which is difficult to explain, Imam Hussein showed Karbala and the place of martyrdom of his old companions.
Something like a dream vision?
It is a kind of shuhud or dream vision. Something that special people, they can see future or even the past history.
It's the same divine knowledge that you said.
It is in the line of divine knowledge. When Umm Salama was... her eyes were open to this, it says that she cried and she said, "Okay, it is your mission." Imam Hussein told Umm Salama, "Oh mother, God has wanted us to be martyred. And this wanted us doesn't mean God allows or orders, for example, Yazid and Muawiyah do this. It means God knows this. And God is giving the chance to the people to behave and react while God is not ignorant about what they are going to do. So this is called Mashiyah, means Inna Allah Sha'a. Inna Allah Sha'a means God has this Mashiyah, and this Mashiyah
this will.
Is referred to the issues related to the destiny of human being. And I have to emphasize, this doesn't mean that people are forced to behave in a way.
So it's not determinism.
It is not compulsory action, for example, by Yazid or for example, Shem, to kill Imam Hussein. It is the previous knowledge before any occurrence.
And this previous knowledge does not interfere with their free will.
Exactly, exactly. Free will is one thing. This prior knowledge is the superiority of God. And when God has this knowledge, he can give this knowledge to anyone. He can give this knowledge to an ant, give it, for example, to me as a regular human being, or give it to the beloved son of the Prophet, Imam Hussein ibn Ali, who was the Imam, which is a divine position. Imam, in the statement to Umm Salma, says that God has foreseen this, that my children will be arrested, our family, women, will be arrested, and they will ask for people's help. And there is no help when Imam Hussein is martyred. He's asking, Hal min nasirin yansuruni, you know, on the day of Ashura. All the men, the supporters were killed. There was no man but Imam Hussein himself. And then he was sacrificed. That was a discussion with Umm Salma. Let me add this. Umm Salma at this time says, okay, I have a piece of clay, like soil, that your grandfather has given this to me, and it is in a bottle. Imam Hussein alayhi salam said, yes, I swear to God, I will be killed, even if I don't go to Karbala. I know my destiny. And then he took this piece of clay and soil, gave it to Umm Salama, and said, I give it to you. Put it in a special place. When you see this clay is bloody, that is the time I have been murdered.
Very miraculous, I think. Thank you very much indeed.
You're welcome.
Dear audience, you are listening to Labbaik Ya Hussein directly from the holy city of Karbala. Thank you.
What happened in that camp, let us remember. What happened in that camp, let us remember. The ones thirsty calling for water. Everyone's thirsty calling for water. Ya Abbas, Ya Abbas, Ya Abbas, Ya Abbas.
Okay. Dear Dr. Fani, you brought us some examples of Imam Hussein's final messages and final discussions to various people. Are there any other people to whom Imam Hussein wrote a letter or with whom he had a discussion?
Another event is narrated is from one of the companions of the Prophet, peace be upon him, Jabir ibn Abdullah. Jabir narrates this. You know, Jabir was a very famous man who had a long living. He even was able to be alive when the fifth Imam, Imam Baghir, was a little boy. So he was alive from the time of the Prophet up to time of Imam Baghir alayhi salam. Jabir says, I came to Hussein in Medina and said to him, you are the son of the Prophet. You are one of the two sept, you know, there were Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein. You are one of the two grandchildren of the Prophet, like the one who are Sayyid al-Shabab, Ahl al-Jannah, and others. I think it is good to make peace like your brother who made peace with Muawiyah. You make a peace with Yazid.
And what is
Imam Hussein replied to Jabir this. He said, O Jabir, what my brother did, it was with the command of Allah and his Prophet. I will do the same. I follow the command of God and his Prophet. So this means if Imam Hassan made the peace,
it was not something personal.
Doing the mission, following God's order. If I am not making the peace, again, I am following God's order and doing my mission. Then he says, O Jabir, do you want me to show you that I am right, I have the proof. And then Jabir says, Imam Hussein, look at the skies. And then all of a sudden, it was to me like the door of the sky is opening. I saw the Prophet, I saw Ali, I saw Hassan, I saw Hamza and Jafar. You know, Hamza was the uncle of the Prophet. They were coming from sky to the earth. I was scared. And then the Prophet told me, oh, Jabir, didn't I tell you about Hassan's mission? And I told you, you have to follow your imams and do not object to them. Means Imam Hassan made the peace, you should obey him. If Imam Hussein doesn't make the peace, you again, you have to obey Imam Hussein. Then Prophet said, do you want to see the final destiny of Muawiyah and Yazid? Do you know where Hussein also ends up? I said, yes, O Prophet, can you show me? Then Jabir says, a big gap occurred on the earth. I saw a big sea of water. And then I saw seven earths. I saw seven seas. And underneath of them, it was fire. Walid, Abu Jah, Muawiyah, Yazid, all were imprisoned by a chain, and all the shaitans were chained with them, and they were being punished in the hell
severely.
So he was able to see the future of Jahannam or the hell and see these people over there. Then the Prophet said, okay, now raise up your head. Then I look at the heavens. It was happening on the earth. I saw the doors of the sky and heaven was open. The heaven was up there. The Prophet went up there. And there were people over there. And then the Prophet called upon Hussein. Oh, my grandchild, come with me. The Prophet was inviting Hussein alayhi salam. Then Jabir is narrating this. Hussein joined the Prophet. I saw them going together, arriving into the heaven. At that time, the Prophet looked at me, Jabir is saying, because the Prophet had shown him people in the hell, people in the heaven. Then told me, oh, Jabir, listen, Hussein is my son, and with me, follow his order and do not give any doubt to come into your heart. And so when Jabir narrated this last sentence, when Jabir narrated this, he cursed himself that I have to curse my eyes to turn into be a blind person if what I'm telling you, I didn't see it. Means he saw this by his eyes.
Vividly. So thank you very much indeed. That was really a fruitful piece of history. Thank you.
Sure.
So, dear audience, that was Labbaik Ya Hussein directly from the holy city of Karbala. At the end of it, I'd like to express my salutation to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Assalamu ala al-Hussein, wa ala ahliyat al-Hussein, wa ala awlad al-Hussein, wa ala ashab al-Hussein. Thank you very much indeed. Goodbye. No.
no one face the pain like you did. No one face the pain like you did. No one's the same.
We once had a teacher, the teacher of teachers. He changed the world for the better and made us better creatures.
In the name of Allah, Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to the program, The Teacher. Please stay with us.
What will we say in front of him?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Well, welcome to another episode of the program, The Teacher, an introduction into most important Islamic teachings and concepts. I am Atta, the host of this program. Sheikh Rouhani and Brother Alavian are present in the studio of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh Rouhani. Welcome to your show.
Alaikum assalamu wa rahmatullah.
And Brother Alavian, assalamu alaikum to you.
Wa alaikum assalamu wa rahmatullah. Thank you.
For today's discussion, we want to talk about a topic which is related to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and the commemoration of his martyrdom. This concept is known as Maqtal or al-Maqtal, which is in fact a written account of historical monographs and narrations about the Shahada or the martyrdom of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Sheikh Rouhani, let's start with you, brother. Give us a definition, a general picture of what is Maqtal and why this concept, I mean this term, is significant when we refer to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Maqtal actually is a kind of historical source which is about the events occurred for Abdullah alayhi salatu wasalam and his companions. So of course, this kind of historical account are based on the narrations or let's say writings of some of the companions of Abdullah and later some of the narrators and transmitters of the ahadith who collected actually reports and different kind of accounts about the event of Ashura and what happened to Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam in Karbala and what happened to the companions of Abdullah alayhi salatu wasalam and to the children of Abdullah alayhi salatu wasalam. So that's why they are a kind of direct kind of reports about what happened to Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam in Karbala. So not only those accounts, but also there are some pieces of, we can say, sermons and speeches made by Imam Sajjad, Lady Zainab salamullah alayha,
yes,
and the rest of the A'imma alayhim salatu wasalam about Ashura, about the event of Ashura. So this Maqatil includes reports as well as some of the sermons, sayings, and beautiful kind of accounts of the people who were in Karbala, such as Imam Sajjad, Lady Zainab, and some other companions of Abdullah.
So the term you mean, the term Maqtal starts with Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Before that, we did not have any maqtal or maqatal.
In Tashayyu, what we see, maqatal are well known about Imam Hussein and Imam Amir al-Mu'minin as well.
Uh-huh.
But of course, we have some maqatal in Sunnite world about Uthman and Umar and the other peoples as well.
All right.
But of course, for Tashayyu, what matters most to us is these maqatal which are related to Abu Abdullah and Amir al-Mu'minin.
Very good. And Brother Alavian, what is the main content of a maqtal? I mean, does it refer to any historical facts? Historically speaking, can historians believe in Maqtal as an authentic source in order to refer to and find the exact historical details or not about an event like Ashura, for example?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam Muhammad and his beautiful progeny. Yes, since Maqatal, which is the plural of Maqtal, are the historical narration or monographs of some historical events, and they have been usually written by authentic people, they can be trusted, like a valid history. As the respected brother said, Maqatal in the school of Ahlul Bayt started with the Maqtal of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. The first one whose Maqtal has been written and was documented was Imam Ali's Maqtal.
Yes.
So even it was a new gate in the world of actually monograph narration and historical
and literature.
And literature. Yes. So it started with Imam Ali, but later others and with other denominations came and actually imitated the same concept for other notable people.
Mm-hmm.
So what is important, I mean, these people who have narrated, who have written these maqal are valid people, so the whatever they have written, actually documented, are quite valid and can be trusted.
Okay.
So to claim that whatever is there, like a revelation without any mistake at all, such a thing cannot be said.
Okay.
I mean, like any ordinary book, they can be trusted. Like
especially
any
historical
history,
books, which are
like any other valid history book.
Okay.
They can be, I mean, looked at like this.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting that the respected Sheikh said that it started with Imam Ali alayhi salam, but it is very famous with Maqtal of Sayyid al-Shahada, Imam Hussein ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib.
Okay.
So, whoever has heard of the word of Maqtal or Maqatal, whatever comes to his mind is the Maqtal of Sayyid al-Shahada.
Yes.
That is what we have in mind and we have in our imaginations about Maqtal or Maqatal. Mm-hmm. It's something that we have heard or read about Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, rather than Imam Ali alayhi salam.
Yes.
It's true that it started from that.
Okay.
And most
of the news and the details that the people on the Manabir and the Majalis say are out of these Maqtal accounts or the narratives,
that's
isn't it?
Yeah. Okay. So we want to say that since they are very important and they are very actually precious for the followers of the school of Ahlul Bayt, so it's quite natural that some viruses come in between and actually attack this valuable monument, I can call it. This monument in the phrase, in the form of, I mean, a written literature.
Yes.
So that's why some other fake maqatil has come into appearance and they actually deviated the same line. But we are talking about the maqatil that came through a direct and authentic path.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much. Sheikh Rouhani, can you name some of those authentic maqatil books for us? I mean, the most trustworthy ones during the history in which we can refer to and got the true information about the tragedy of Karbala and Imam al-Hussein's martyrdom?
According to the Shiite doctrines and teachings, what is narrated by Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam about the event of Ashura are the most trustworthy kind of sources that we can refer, like Imam Sajjad, Imam al-Baqir, Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, Imam Ridha alayhi salatu wasalam. We have lots of narrations from this Imam alayhi salatu wasalam about the event of Ashura. And of course, they themselves commemorated the event of Ashura.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why the most authentic source for Shia are these riwayat which are narrated from the Masum and the infallible Imams alayhi salatu wasalam.
But they have not been collected in a Maqtal format, isn't it?
They are not really hadith resources.
But
in Nafas al-Mahmum and some other recent kind of sources, if you refer, of course, they collected these riwayat.
Yes. That's right.
But the oldest, we can say, historical account of the event of Ashura is the Maqtal, which is written by Asbagh ibn Nubatayy Mujashi'i.
That's right.
This is the oldest one.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Maqtal Abi Mikhnaf, Abu Abdullah alayhi salatu wasalam, which is Maqtal al-Husayn alayhi salatu wasalam.
Yes.
These are the oldest one, but later in the 3rd and the 4th centuries, we have lots of other maqatil. And later in the recent centuries, again, after Safavids, we have lots of other maqatil which are written about Abu Abdullah alayhi salatu wasalam.
Mm-hmm.
And they are also available nowadays to us.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah.
And the main content of these Maqtal books, Brother Alavian, is, where does it start? Does it start from the martyrdom of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, or no, it refers to some historical background of the reasons why the movement of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam started or not?
Actually, these maqatil start from, before the martyrdom of Imam. They give us an exact report of what happened before his martyrdom till the time that he got martyred and then after his martyrdom.
Very good.
One more point I want to add to the explanations of the respected brother that he said, and he truly said that the first, valid maqatil, which was written, was by Asbagh ibn Nubata. But this was in the form of written one. But in the oral maqatil for the Imam Hussein, we have something even prior to that, which was narrated by Hassan al-Muthanna, son of Imam al-Hassan. So the first one who started for maqatil of Imam al-Hussein is Hassan al-Muthanna, who himself was in the battlefield of the Karbala.
Okay.
But he actually survived, and then he was among the first people who started right after, I think if I'm not mistaken, Arba'in of Imam al-Hussein, started narrating the details. So
this oral presentation and sermons are considered among the maqtals too.
Very true.
Okay, but so, not written one, the oral
maqtals. As for Asbagh himself, it is still under question that if it is from Asbagh himself or his son, because he was there and no one actually saw him to. Okay. But there is something, whatever we have at hand is from Asbagh ibn Mata, or at most it would be from his son, or a person belonging to him that actually put them in a book format. But the oral one, which is prior to that, is by Hassan al-Muthanna.
Yes.
So they start from the time that Imam alayhi salam started his trip, even from Mecca till the time that he was on his way to Kufa, and from that time to Karbala, and what happened to the Imam himself and his family, and to his martyrdom, and to the time that actually they came back from the throne of Yazid from Damascus.
Damascus, that's right. All in all, nowadays we could see that in the majalis of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, so many historical details are mentioned about, even for example, how Imam was martyred, what were exactly the sermons that Imam and the other companions addressed during the month of Muharram in 1-2 days. Even the sermons of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam when he was in Mecca is written in the Maqatil. Our Sunni brethren sometimes, we can say, accuse the Shia of making up, these resources, that Maqtal cannot be a trustworthy, rich legacy, a historical one, in order to refer to. And these details that are given are made up out of the minds of the orators or the lecturers on the manabar of the Shias. Is it true or not, Sheikh?
We should explain it. First of all, our audience, respected brothers and sisters, should know that maqatil are not only written about the Ahl al-Bayt alayhim salatu wasalam, like Maqtal al-Hussein or Maqtal Amir al-Mu'minin Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. Rather, we have lots of maqatil written about the other Islamic figures, like second caliph, third caliph, and about the Zubayri caliph, about Hujr ibn Adi. Abi Makhlab has written another maqtal about these other figures.
Yes.
So, other than Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam.
Mm-hmm.
So, these maqatil are not specifically confined or limited to the tashayyu. This is the first point. And then the point is that they themselves refer to their maqatil. When they refer to the history, they refer to the details of what happened to those figures based on those maqatil. This is the first point. The second point is that it has a kind of socio-political background or ground for it, for this idea. Because, whenever we go back to the history, to the details of the history, because what happened among Sahaba, because these figures are all Sahabi, Ashab al-Nabi.
Yes.
So our Sunni brother are not of the view that Ashabi, they have a narration from the Holy Prophet that Ashabi can najum, whomever you ihtadaytum. So Then if you go to these details about Ashab, that what happened between Ashab, many Ashab were killed by other Ashab.
Yes.
So Ashab killed each other, Ashab fight against each other. Ashab, some of them were on the side of Amir al-Mu'minin, some of them were the side of Muawiyah, some of others were silent.
Yes.
Some others were opposed to both of sides, you know. So among Sahaba, we have lots of problems in the first century and the second Islamic century.
All right.
So they believe that so Ashab are like Nujum, like stars. Whomever we refer, they can guide us to the right path.
Mm-hmm.
But from the other side, if you go to the detail of the history, you see that these stars fought against each other, killed each other.
Okay.
They did not accept each other.
Yes.
There were great disagreement, differences in their readings and understanding of Islam. So now the question is, that how can we refer to these
Ashab? I'm sorry, not whomever was around Prophet Muhammad could be considered as a trustworthy Ashab.
Yes.
It was Sahabi.
Sunnah to Salaf means what?
Sunnah to Salaf.
To refer to Salaf. Who are Salaf? Okay. Salaf are the Ashab.
Mm-hmm.
The companions.
That's right.
Even if a person just once in his life visited the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he is a Sahab.
Mm-hmm.
He is Sahabi and he is immune from mistakes. If you refer to him, he can guide you to the right path.
It seems to be a big justification for the killing of the grandson of Prophet Muhammad.
Unfortunately, one of the excuses that they had for this, that why didn't you support Imam Hussein? They said because the majority of Ashab were opposed about Abdullah Alayhi Wasallam. So this is a criteria for them. It was an Amawid reading of Islam.
That's why, because of this, they always try
to tell us that let's not refer to the details of history, particularly in the first century.
Yes.
Because it devalues
the Ashab. And Maqtal is doing so.
It's like that.
Isn't it?
Not only Maqtal, other historical backgrounds.
There's a point that needs to be clear and clarified here, and there is a mindset, I think, it is needed to be reviewed. And then when we are talking about the Muslim brothers and we say that, okay, a group of Muslims believe such a thing, I think this is not true, because if we look at the Islamic Ummah in general, these are not, I mean, a very, let's say, majority of the Islamic Ummah. They are a very limited, let's say, extremist and radical groups in so-called Islamic groups, I can call them. Because if you talk to the scholars of the Islam world, whether belonging to the Shia or Sunni, they don't have such actually extremist viewpoints on these issues.
Right.
So let's clarify that. Then when we are saying that, okay, some Muslims do not have such beliefs.
Yes.
Because we, as the brother said, Abi Mikhlaf himself have some actually maqtal for the second Khalifa or the third Khalifa. So Muslims all agree on that in the narration of historical monograph that he has actually came up with.
All right.
I think it's better to say that, okay, there are some groups, so-called Muslims, that they have some radical viewpoints on this.
Thank you very much. For more information, our dear listeners can refer to some books like Nafasul Mahmum by Sheikh Abbas al-Ghumim, Lawaij al-Ashjan fi Maqtal al-Husayn Muhsin Amin al-Amali. This is another great book. Al-Duhuf by Sayyid Ibn Tawus. There is also a Maqtal Jami of Sayyid al-Shuhada, done under the tutelage of the great scholar and researcher of history of Karbala, the late Mahdi Peshwai. And also Lama'at al-Husayn by the late Sayyid Muhammad Hussain Husseini Tehrani. These are authentic books to which people can refer to. At the same time, we must say that the emotional, sensational part of the Ashura has always had been embedded with some superstitions. And unfortunately, on some of the majalis and manabir of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, authentic information are replaced with these misunderstood misconceptions about the history of Ashura and Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, which are again criticized by the Shia scholars themselves. Thank you very much, Sheikh Rouhani.
You're welcome.
And Brother Alevian, for a nice elaboration regarding the topic, what is Maqtal and is it an authentic resource, historically speaking, or not? It was very kind of you. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program, The Teacher. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.